You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, joined by Katie Whalen, our health chick, as we lovingly call her. She's really our health reporter, and she is also serves as my, I hate to say health advisor because I don't want to knock on the door with a SWAT team from the FDA, but she and Dr. Ted Brower, have been relentless in trying to help me through my current health crises. And I say crises because I had four of them going on at one time on the same day. And the only thing that remains is the blood sugar, but it's approaching normal. We got a ways to go yet, but it's approaching normal. I'm 80% towards my goal. And this is why I want to tell you about Health Masters. And Dr. Ted would have come in tonight, but as you've heard, and we're going to ask for prayers on this too, his son, Austin, has a health challenge going on right now. And we ask that you pray, and this does involve his heart. So when you ask for the target in your prayer, there's your target. It's a heart-related condition caused by an infection. He is doing much better, but he is not out of the woods, and he is in need of our prayers. But anyway, Health Masters and I have teamed up, and we are bringing you a 5% discount for all Health Masters products, and this is good for only 1 week for Common Sense Show listeners. Simply go to healthmasters.com, and when you get what you need, and I would look at the Hodges Joint Protocol, the Hagman Blood Sugar Protocol, which I'm on right now. And if you look at all these things, and just, there's so much great stuff there, 5% off. Just put the coupon code DAVE5 in when you check out electronically, healthmasters.com. Also want to remind you that this segment is brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals and my good friend Steve Quayle. And, you know, you heard Joseph Meyer, famed economist, on here last week telling you we don't have long until all the air goes out and all the experts are saying the same thing. Do you have gold and silver? Have you converted your soon-to-be worthless cash? Well, if you haven't, give Steve a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. And in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Bob Griswold. And Bob Griswold is prepper extraordinaire and much, much more than that, too. And in the second hour, we're going to be talking about critical incident shootings in light of the Orlando and what you can do if you're ever caught in a situation like this. But Bob also has a great website with great prepping products. ReadyMadeResources.com, 1-800-627-3809. Again, that's ReadyMadeResources.com, 1-800-627-3809. When Bob is on, we'll hit up a couple of the products. And then, of course, food preparation. If the economy comes to a standstill, and we could be a major false flag away from that, another Orlando away from that, you heard Joseph Meyer talk about that last week. Do you have enough food? If you don't, go to pneumona.com/Hodges. We also there have a 5% discount, and the coupon code is identical to Health Masters. It is DAVE5, and that is pneumona.com/Hodges. And hopefully we're going to get everybody prepared before the bottom falls out of what we're going through. And speaking of the bottom falling out, there was a movie that aired, and I was pleased and privileged and honored to be asked to review that movie, and I gave it my highest recommendation. And that's the movie Armageddon. And it previewed, or came out about a month ago. There's going to be a re-release, and we have invited Gary Haven, the senior executive producer of the movie, to come back on and tell us how the movie did. And I can tell you, the very first day, it did great. Did terrific. And also, what is ahead for this movie, because this isn't the end. This movie had a limited opening release, and I think it's going to get expanded, but we're going to have Gary on to tell us about that. And one quick reminder, stay tuned in the third hour. Katie and I got some interesting revelations going on in the health report, and we're also going to kick around some other subjects in that segment. Okay, all the business is out of the way. It's time to get down to work. And as I just mentioned, Gary Haven, who I've become a big fan of because of his fine work in this movie, has consented, and we're privileged and just so honored that he's on with us in this first hour. And so let's welcome him, because we're going to talk about the movie Armageddon. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Dave. Happy Father's Day.
Well, same to you, my friend. What a great day this is. And I was in a church service last night, and it was almost like the men outnumbered the women. When have you ever seen that in a large church? That was
that
so awesome
unusual.
To see. You. So awesome. Anyway, Gary, I got to tell you, you nailed it. Everything that has happened in the last 30 days since Armageddon has, right before it aired and previewed, everything we're seeing now with the UN is moving closer to them, partnering with Obama with gun confiscation. They want an increased presence in our police departments, in DHS. Everything that you showed in your movie is coming closer to reality. And I want to congratulate you for being so far-sighted. But let's start at the beginning. Number one, how did the movie do?
Well, a great report. We initially opened in 30 theaters, mostly in the South. Armageddon was the number two movie in 27 of the theaters. The George Clooney movie was number three. Now, isn't that a great testament?
That is awesome. It shows you people are angry and frightened at the same time.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it tells you that their eyes are opening. This movie, it's entertaining, of course, and it's an action-adventure movie, great acting in it. You've got four-time Academy Award nominee Diane Ladd in it, for example. But it was a movement, and the movement is really just gaining momentum right now. By the way, in those 30 theaters, every theater held it over for 3 weeks. We waited until the Memorial weekend, a massive number of movies came out to go back into the theaters. And I'm happy to say we're back in about 30 theaters this week. And now we're in theaters all over Florida. We're in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're in Detroit, Kansas City. And of course, for a complete listing, people need to go to the website, which is AmerageddonTheMovie.com. And go to the place to click on the theaters, and it will be rolling across the country. You know, we had a lot of people that were excited about our movie that were so disappointed that it didn't open in their community that first week. And we tried to get the word out to them that this kind of movie, you have to roll across in waves to focus the cost of being in a theater. And I tell you, a couple exciting things about it. On, people go to the movies on weekends, and on Monday, Tuesday, traditional movies drop 80%, and our movie only dropped 40%. So we were a destination location. People were coming on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night to specifically to see this movie, not just to have a night out and be entertained. And so we had great support, and we had great support partially from the great work you've done and Steve Quell have done to support this thing. You know, I shared with you that I was determined to make this fact-based. You know, this wasn't just a Hollywood entertainment movie. This was an opportunity to teach people about the great threat to our country, not only from an electromagnetic pulse, which, by the way, is a very real threat, but just as importantly, maybe more importantly, the threat from our government. Because I believe that the government is not just incompetent, but there is a lot of destruction to the American people by design from the people that are in power. And so you know, I was true to the truth and the facts. You went to see the movie, I think, over in the Phoenix area or Scottsdale area. And by the way, Scottsdale was the number one market for our movie. The theaters sold out there. Las Vegas was the number two market, which I thought was really exciting. Of course, Texas did great, but for Arizona and Nevada to be the number one and two spot was really exciting. I think you're waking up a lot of people in your part of the country.
Well, and this movie has done a good... you've really gone a long way towards the same objective. When I hear from my listening audience, they felt that they... One of the comments I got quite frequently was they felt that they were watching a documentary. In other words, it's something that's already happened and we're just reporting on it. And that's how real that it seemed, because so many of the things that we've discussed here on this show, I saw elements of this in the movie. And like I said, just in the 3 weeks since the movie's come out, I'm just amazed at how quickly the UN is basically imprinting its presence on our country. And this is really the central theme of your movie. Also, you know, when you mentioned Scottsdale, it did pretty well, you know, at least by my anecdotal observations, in Peoria, Arizona, too, which is on the other side of Phoenix. It's on the west side. That's our home movie theater there, the Harkins in Peoria, and it did well there. So at least what I was able to observe. So congratulations on opening as number two. Now, is there going to be a scattered re-release? I'm kind of hearing that. Or are you going to do a punctuated re-release, you know, in one fell swoop?
No, now that Memorial Weekend is behind us, we didn't want to be in that unbelievably competitive markets. We just took a break. And now that that's over with, we're back in theaters. And the plan is to open for 1 week only in 30 cities every week throughout the rest of the summer. And what that means is that in almost every market in the country, you'll have an opportunity to go to the theater and see Armageddon between now and Labor Day. And the plan to do what they call the ancillary market, DVD, pay TV, will be put in place in October. And, of course, we need people to go to the theater. The attendance, the seats that are sold really capture the tension of large distributors. And interestingly, even though we had a lot of pushback from Hollywood, our distributor for the ancillary market is Sony Pictures. And I tell you what got their attention was the number of tickets that were sold. And so, you know, even, you know, Hollywood organization, which doesn't really have any regard for our welfare, is motivated by money. And so we were able to capture the attention, and I want to thank all the people that went to the movies. And we had a great response. We had 7.5 out of 10 ratings, or 3.5 out of 5. There we go. And it's funny, we either got 5 stars, which we got from most of the people, or 1 star. And I tell you what it was. It was those that understood that this was a movie about a message. They fully appreciated the message, the way it was delivered. And I tell you, reality is far, far more interesting today than myth. And we talked about and showed the UN coming in and trying to take weapons, you know, which is right out of the news today. And we showed crisis actors preparing to the public for weapons taking. You know, these are things, you know, crisis actors. And by the way, I listened to your show the other night. I think it was the day after the shooting, the alleged shooting. And so much of what you were talking about that night had elements in our movie, because it was so fact-based that it's just playing out in the real world right now, almost a daily basis.
Well, one of the things I want to encourage people to do, if you've not seen the movie, make it a vacation. You know, combine it with something that you'd go like to do, maybe hit the beach or in the mountains or wherever the movies are playing, and just include the movie in your repertoire. And here's why I believe this way, Gary. If I'm sitting in one of the back boardrooms of the global elite, and I'm trying to gauge pushback from the American people, and we know that right now they still run from confrontation. They like to do things by stealth. Getting up out of your house, off your sofa, going to your car, driving, walking into the movie theater, paying your money, and watching the movie means you are more actively oriented than someone who will wait for what's coming on TV in the fall. Now, I know we need to have that market because we have shut-ins and people that geographically maybe can't get to the movie, and that's important. But, Gary, I think it sends a much stronger message when people go to the effort and take the time and spend the money to get out of their house to go see it. That sends a message to the global elite. People are ready to act.
And we are hearing back from them. I can't reveal the source, but in a major Homeland Security meeting, they were discussing the movie, and it was concerning to them. I tell you what, Dave, we have such a great awakening right now, I think the Trump phenomenon demonstrates that the American people are aware that they have been lied to. They're angry. They're looking for somebody to stand up against these criminals in Washington. And when I say that, I'm not talking just about the Democrats. You know, although Hillary is a one-woman crime wave, probably the worst people are the establishment Republicans, because, as Cicero said, the traitor in your camp is more dangerous than enemies at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Because the traitor can move freely among you. And American people are waking up to these traitors, these establishment Republicans who've been bought and paid for by the moneyed interest, who consistently vote against the interest of the American people. And a perfect example is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And Trump is standing up saying, hey, this does not, you know, benefit the American people. It only benefits the moneyed interest. And so we have somebody with the courage right now, and I don't agree with a lot of what he says, by the way, but at least somebody is standing up and showing that we don't have to put up with this being sold out and our country being sold over to the Russians when they buy the uranium from the Clintons, or the Chinese when they buy technology from, like, Bill Clinton so many years ago. We gave them so much missile technology that we caught them up to us when we had probably a 10 or 20 year lead. These are all facts. And so the American people are waking up. They're mad. And we actually believe for the first time in a long time that we might be able to take our country back.
There's hope. I was sitting in a very large church service last evening, and I went on Saturday night for a couple of reasons. One, I wanted to go, but two, I wanted to pray for Ted Brewer's son, Austin, and I wanted to do it in a place where I felt I would have support and maybe people joining me. But I looked out across, and I saw thousands of people, and I looked at their mood, their demeanor, their commitment to Christ, and I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, how are we losing this war? When I see such committed people to mainstream American values based on the Christian religion of duty, honor, commitment to family, how are we losing? And I agree with what you're saying. I have a glimmer of hope for the first time in a long time, because I've been preaching adjustment and acclimation, and I still do to a large extent. But Trump has given us hope, and Trump, with the help of God, might carry him to victory, because Gary, unless he has divine protection, he won't make it to November.
You're absolutely right. And you know, the question, would they kill him? Well, they killed a sitting president and got away with it. And of course, I'm talking
and
about
his
John
brother
Kennedy.
And his brother and in the Democratic convention.
And
yeah,
blatant, open. And they had the audacity to do that. And you know what? They're more powerful today than they were then.
Oh, decidedly. Decidedly. I'll give you an illustration. There was a book written by a friend of mine, and it was called Trilaterals Over Washington, and Patrick Wood was the co-author, and I've had him on the show a number of times. He lives here locally in Phoenix, and I know Patrick very, very well, but I didn't know him then, and I was captured by this book, Trilaterals Over Washington, co-authored with the late Anthony Sutton, Professor Emeritus, and they talked about the Trilateral Commission. And this was in the late 70s, and I was a young man, kind of just cutting my teeth and worried about career things and, you know, not long out of college. And I said, how could this be true in America? And I went on a fact-finding search about the Trilateral Commission. I used every electronic base that was possible at that time. We didn't have the internet, of course. And the only thing I could find was one obscure article that poo-pooed a conspiracy theory about the Trilateral Commission. And, of course, the Trilateral Commission was also mentioned in the Barney Miller TV series. And those are the only two places that I could find it. Today, Hillary Clinton gives press releases in front of Trilateral Commission background pieces, boards, and also the Council on Foreign Relations. They are out of the closet entirely, Gary. And it's kind of like they want us to know the New World Order is here, and this is your new flag.
It's so out at the open, Dave, now that... and let's talk about this for a few minutes, because this is really... it's important, it's exciting. They're so out in the open now that they either don't care, they've acquired so much power and control, they're so close to the ultimate trigger, which is probably going to be, if not an EMP, which is the basis of my movie, a financial collapse, which they have created by this massive debt that's never happened before in world history. And this is all by design. You know, Kissinger said that the only thing standing in the way of a strong, of a new world order is a strong America. And their plan is to diminish this country. And it's so blatant. You know, bringing in unvetted refugees. Now, that's just stupid. And it's not even up for debate. And yet, the media treats it like, you know, it's really something that we ought to do. Well, you know, it's real simple, and Trump has said it. You just got to put this on pause until we figure out how to vet these people. You don't have to be a genius to come to that obviously reasonable conclusion. And yet, it's still out there as if, you know, it's something that we ought to consider right now. You know, we had these attacks around the country by radicals that are all Muslim radicals. And we're still thinking this may be a good idea. So they're coming out in the open for... Either things are getting close, and I believe they are, or they have so much power they don't care. By the way, I debated on Fox News a few weeks ago. I don't know if you saw that or not. Alan Combs.
And if you have a clip of that, please send it to me. I want to distribute it widely with comment.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Fox put it on there. But Alan Combs, he saw me on Fox and Friends talking about my movie, and he called me up and he said, hey, would you debate your movie with me? And I said, sure, you know. And so the opening question, and it was an ambush, of course, wasn't about the movie. It was, so, Mr. Avon, you believe Washington is a criminal cabal run by a shadow government that wants to kill Americans?
That is so Fox.
I thought a minute, and I said, well, Alan, you pretty much nailed it. And for the next 5 minutes, I had him shouting, name somebody, which I knew was a ridicule-rich opportunity that I didn't want to step into, because you only had 5 minutes to try to defend yourself. I did name a couple of names. George Soros is easy. But basically, I argued that there are too many policies that are being implemented out of Washington that are harmful to Americans. In fact, almost every policy that comes out of Washington diminishes our freedoms or our prosperity consistently. You know, I forget who said it, but if there wasn't a plan to do this, you know, if it was just because they were stupid, they would occasionally, you know, accidentally do something right. But it's so consistently to the detriment of the American people that it must be by design.
You nailed it. One of the catchphrases when I began to debate the credibility of Obama in his first term, oh, you're just a racist, Dave. You don't want a black man in the Oval Office, blah, blah, blah. Black in the White House don't go together. I heard it all. And what I used to turn around and say to people was, can you name me one thing that this president has done to improve your plight or the plight of the middle class? One thing. Give me one thing, and I'll give you credibility. I'm still waiting for an answer in the affirmative. I've never heard it.
Well, and I'll tell you what, you know, I know George W. Bush personally, and I look back on his 8 years, and I can't think of many things he did to benefit the American people either. You know, we had no business going into the Middle East on false pretenses. We had no business staying there. And that kind of brings up another topic I wanted to talk to you about tonight. You know, everybody, you know, all of our peers, you know, the people that we have respect for and we spend time with, are talking about this war between Christians and Muslims. And I think even on your program the other night, Doug Hagman, I believe he said this. In fact, he did. I remember him saying it. Is it that Washington doesn't recognize that there's a war between Christians and Muslims? Now, here's the problem with that. Long ago, the elitists leaked out that they were going to create chaos by pitting Christians against Muslims. So the problem with us buying into this war and focusing on that is that we're playing in their game.
Exactly.
And we have to be really careful with this. In fact, we have to look at everything from a higher perspective. And if we don't do that, we end up doing nothing but chattering and being caught up into their traps. And the reality is, there's really not a war between Christians and Muslims. You know, I do business in the Middle East. I have a lot of Muslim friends. And, you know, they're, for the most part, they're wonderful people. Now, the religion has some real issues, and you know, we all know what that is. But, you know, not many of them want to kill me, and I certainly don't want to kill any of them. It's this group that has been raised up to stir up this dissension with Christians. That is by design. You know, there's enough evidence out there to prove that Obama, the CIA, have created ISIS. You know, ISIS became the new boogeyman. They always have to have a boogeyman to, you know, to scare us into giving up our liberties. And, you know, bringing them into this country, as stupid as that is, it's by design. They want us to feel threatened by them. We'll give up our freedoms, but we'll also focus our anger on the Muslims and the Muslims on us. And while we're busy fighting each other, the elite can be busy implementing their plans. And so it's been a long strategy of the elite to pit Christians against Muslims. So we have to be careful to not be angry at the Muslims. And we have to identify these radicalized Muslims are radicalized mostly because our government. Let me share something with you that I thought was really interesting. In Syria right now, the U.S. State Department is supporting the Kurds in the fight in Syria. The CIA is supporting the so-called Free Syrian Army, which is a joke of a name. It's really ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra. And so the Free Syrians are fighting the Kurds. Well, our CIA is providing the support to the Free Syrians, while our State Department is providing the support to the other guys. And so we're on both sides of that battle. This has nothing to do with freedom and democracy. This is all about chaos. It's all about creating war and dissension, because only in chaos can they acquire power.
Well, they create the chaos, and then they bring in their solution, and we let them do it with 9/11, and we're seeing this played out all across the globe. Do you agree with Donald Trump that we should ban Muslim immigration for the time being?
Yeah, and it's real simple. Alan Collins, during the debate, I made the statement that we cannot vet the so-called Syrians who are coming into the country, and he said, he said they were the most vetted people of all the immigrants. And I said, Helen,
what?
The FBI testifying in front of the Congress said we cannot vet them. Of course, it came out in the news this week. The head of the CIA said we cannot vet them. And so that's a fact. And if you can't vet them, you can't bring them in. And so you put this thing on pause. And, you know, like I said, I do business in the Middle East. There are some of these countries over there that ISIS is actually in control of the production of documentations like passports. And they're actually creating passports to allow their people to infiltrate. And so it's just all part of the strategy. And Obama knows this. and he's not letting them in because he's a humanitarian. He's letting them in because he's a puppet who's told what to do. And those in power, particularly in Europe, which is a god-awful place right now, Germany let a million of these refugees into their country, and they're creating absolute chaos right now. And I think we've let, I think the number was a million in the last 8 years Obama's let into this country. You do not let people come into this country, which is a privilege, much less put them on all the welfare, if they're coming from countries that have a large number of people that have been radicalized. So it's just insane. And they want us to believe they're incompetent. And the American people are waking up. They're saying, you know what? Nobody's that stupid. And the people in power in Washington that are making these decisions that seem so stupid, are American people know this is by design. And so we're waking up. And I tell you, another thing about Trump that I think is very interesting is that his boldness in speaking truth to power, in dealing with the media in such an effective way, has given us permission to talk about things that were considered politically incorrect.
Yes.
He's given us permission to ask questions. And you know what? And I've been skewed in the media every time I bring this up. But you know what? I don't care anymore. If Donald Trump has the boldness to say, you know, explain to me how that building at 9/11 that wasn't even hit by a plane fell with the speed of gravity, you know what? Inquiring minds want to know. In the speech police that would shout me down or you down, that would ridicule us, you know what? They can go to hell. I want to know. I'm an American. I'm a free moral agent. I've got a brain. Okay, buildings don't free fall from furniture burning. You know, I want to know. And I'm not going to be shouted down anymore. And I think that the American people are being emboldened by Donald Trump asking these questions that a free society ought to be able to discuss without being shut down by the speech police.
Yeah, he has pushed back the bounds of political correctness, no matter how hard the media tries to tighten the screws in that area. The thing about Trump that we need to start seeing, though, from my perspective, he's given one specific I can hang my hat on. He has said, with regard to the free trade agreements that destroy communities by eliminating millions of jobs, that when these corporations who seek cheap foreign labor markets bring their products back into the country, they will pay a 35% tax. Okay, I want to hear more concreteness in his platform. And it's going to hurt him against Hillary Clinton unless he does. And that's my biggest concern with Donald Trump right now.
Yeah, he's, you know, Davies, he's a very smart strategist. He is holding his cards very close to his chest.
I've been wondering that, too.
Yeah, and you know what? You and I, if we were in the same situation and we were that smart, I think we would play the same strategy. He's obviously showing enough of his hand to gain the votes to move him forward on this thing. And to show too much of it, the term I used a minute ago, and I'll use it with him, is he doesn't want to become a ridicule-rich opportunity. And so I think he's playing his hand very, very well, showing just enough to let us know that that he's not bought and paid for, that he is going to put America first. He's not going to be part of the criminal cabal in Washington. And I think he'll continue to show us enough of his hand to continue to make the gains. But he really can't show all of his hands because there's too much opportunity for the media to attack him and him not have a chance. You know, it takes a little bit of time and attention to be able to explain some of these things. Let me give you an example. I'll tell you what's wrong with the TPP worse than the exporting of American jobs overseas. And remember, this is negotiated in secret, which on its face, you would think, how could this happen in America? But thanks to WikiLeaks and some other organizations, we found out a few things that are in the TPP. And this one is just amazing. The international corporations can go to a board of corporate attorneys that work for the TPP, and they can make a claim. And they can claim that, and I'll use a real example, that the warning labels on cigarettes in Australia are costing them money. And the board, made up of three corporate attorneys that work for the TPP, makes a determination. And the only determination they make is, did it cost profits, this legislation that was enacted in Australia? And of course it does, and they'll rule in the favor of the corporation. They've been damaged, and then they find the amount of damage is to be awarded to the tobacco companies, and Australia must pay the damages. And so you say, well, the Australian courts will deny it. Well, the Australian courts have no right to overrule this board of corporate attorneys. And by the way, they call it a tribunal, which is a perfect name. And so you say, well, then they just won't pay it. Well, because Australia signed on to the TPP, they're obligated to pay the damages. Now, what this means is that the sovereignty of Australia or the sovereignty of Arizona or the sovereignty of Texas is overruled by a tribunal of the TPP. And talk about a move towards globalism where the sovereignty of your state or your country is subservient to a corporatist organization. I hope a lot of people listen to that and got it, because your Republican congressman and many of the Democrats voted for that to be negotiated in secret and have made a commitment to pass it. These are traitors who've given up the sovereignty of our country over to a board of corporations. And that's the times we're living in right now. And Trump hasn't talked about that yet, but it's a little, you have to explain it, and a lot of people don't pay much, you know, won't give it enough attention. But that's the sort of thing that he'll begin to do as he has opportunity to spend more time showing his hand and his policies.
He needs to buy some network time. And in there, he needs to dust off the memories of Ross Perot, and he needs flip charts to go through schematically what you just described in a very simple, understandable fashion about the TPP, how it violates every precept known to the Constitution. And he needs to do the same thing on every one of these issues. I mean, that's where I think Ross Perot was really effective, when he wasn't supposed to get the lead against his two opponents, but he did. And those flip charts, people could sit, they could understand that. You needed a sixth grade education to follow him. And increasingly in this country, this is what the politicians are dealing with. Let me give you an example. I wrote an article this morning, Gary, where I talked about how the media is trying to target the low IQ crowd with outrageous allegations against Trump. And I'll just use one as a case in point. We'll go to the show called The View, which has always nauseated me. I've never been able to stand it. Oh, thank God I married the woman that I did. That's what I have to say. But when there was a woman on there, her last name is spelled B-E-H-A-R. I don't even know how to pronounce it because I don't follow this piece of trash at all.
Behar,
okay. Well, she went on there and she said, and this is pretty close to a quote, Trump is supporting ISIS and they're working together to kill us. And the last part's a quote. And that's it. I have the video of that in my article up on the Common Sense Show. And I gave example after example in my article today where America has become so dumbed down that even the globalist-controlled media is recognizing it, and they're targeting statements, pejorative statements, that only the most stupid of us could ever believe.
You know, I didn't see the video, but let me ask you a question. Did the audience clap when she said that stupid statement?
Pretty much all the way through when they were... Everything was anti-Trump. You know, Whoopi Goldberg, one of the intellectual giants of our time,
yeah.
She went on her spiel, and she had... a mistake in every sentence,
yeah.
And then this Behar jumped in, and the audience gave this sporadic, polite applause. But you got to remember, they're prompted. They're like little Pavlovian dogs sitting there in the audience. Applause, okay. Hey, God is Satan. Applause.
Yeah.
I mean, people will just do what they're told when they're in that setting. So I don't know that the applause meant much, but the fact that The View would air this, and I raised this in the article. Number one. Even if someone on that panel was dumb enough to say that and go unchallenged by the other panel members, what about the producers before this ever hit the airwaves? And for God's sake, what about the network? Why would they want this kind of nonsense? Can you imagine if you did the flip side extremism? You know, Obama's raping little girls in the White House. Okay, if you made a statement like that, how far would that get on network television?
Yeah, or... Bill Clinton, who really does.
Well, that might be true. That's why I didn't use Clinton. I mean, that's probably a basis in fact. In fact, that's not a basis in fact. It is fact.
Yeah, it is. And Donald Trump has had the audacity to speak about Bill Clinton's pedophilia and violent raping history. And again, this is something we should all be free to talk about because it's fact. You know, he had to pay Paula Jones... $850,000, because he was found guilty in a civil judgment of sexually assaulting her. This is court. This is court records. This was the money that he was paid. And again, you know what? We're free to talk about this. And I got to tell you, Dave, I've been so proud to have read your material now for a number of years, in your boldness and your courage. You know, and this is Father's Day. This reminds us of why we are putting ourselves at risk. Risk of ridicule, risk of audit, which is, I'm sure to be, I'm being audited right now.
I'm being audited as we speak.
Yeah. But you know what? If we don't stand up to speak now, we're going to have to explain to our kids later why they live in poverty and they live in society that no longer has a constitution of freedom, and that's the goal of these people. And you ask why they let Joy Behar make such asinine statements on a major TV show, and of course the answer to that is that 95% of mainstream media is owned by six corporations, and those six corporations all sit on each other's boards, and they have been in control of the mainstream media for many, many, many years. But again, the American people are waking up and they're seeing the obvious, that the media is not to be trusted. They've proven themselves to be biased. And again, they're so blatant now about things that It's almost, I feel kind of guilty pointing out the obvious because it's so easy now.
Let me give you another example. Trump was in Phoenix yesterday for a rally. So some Latinos, and first of all, let me just say this as a disclaimer. Most Hispanics that I know are way wise enough to look at the situation with illegal immigration and understand how it undercuts the lower echelon of the economy. And that the wanting to control immigration, not stop it, but control it, is in everyone's best interest, because then the immigrants who come here aren't abused by off-the-books, can't-trace-them kind of workers where there is nothing to protect them from these evil corporations. So, I mean, both sides gain from sensible organization programs. But there was a group at Encanto Park, which was about a mile from where Trump spoke, and they had this big inflatable doll that was bigger than life, and it showed Trump as a KKK member, and they were proclaiming that he was in the KKK. Now, it didn't stop there. That's bad enough. But the local media here, ABC, Channel 15, Fox News, Channel 10, I saw that they ran reports on this, and they reported it almost as a fact, that the entire Latino community believes this way, when in fact the polls that I trust say that's not true, and that the people that I know of Latino background don't necessarily believe this in large numbers. But here we have the mainstream media in my city promoting this as if it's absolute fact that Trump is in the Klan.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're masters at this deception. You know, I speak Spanish. I live in Texas and lived on the border for 25 years, so I'm very attuned to many, many friends that are Hispanic. And the vast majority, as you say, are not supportive of open immigration. They realize that it's not in their best interest, not the best interest of the country, and that's a fact. We know that George Soros, through MoveOn.org, is advertising for people to attend Trump rallies to disrupt them, and you've written a lot about that.
Yes.
Now, I heard you talking the other night about being invited to the Republican National Convention. I also was invited and decided that it was going to be too dangerous. And, you know, you spoke the other night that you were calling about hotel rooms, and she asked you if you were with MoveOn.org, because they had rented an entire wing of the hotel. So, you know, in Black Lives Matter, these are Soros-funded efforts. And Soros is behind a whole lot of stuff in Europe. MoveOn.org and the other Open Society, I believe it is, was promoting open borders. And now, about a week ago, Soros comes out and says that Europe's in trouble because of all the immigration. Well, he funded the promotion of it. And so, again, this is all out in the open. This, you can read this even in the mainstream media, where he is promoting this dissension to demonize Trump and to also, and this is another topic, you know, I love people as a Christian. I'm obligated to love others, and it doesn't matter what color they are. You know, I have a lot of black friends. You know, I have gay friends, even though I don't agree with the lifestyle. You know, I'm committed to loving people, and, you know, I'll let God sort it out. Well, Soros and Obama has done tremendous work trying to create tension between the black community and the rest of us. And we as Christians have got to reach out and love these black brothers and sisters and not let these elitists create this tension between us, because out of chaos comes order. And that's part of their strategy. And it's blatant, out in the open. Soros is funding Black Lives Matter. Obama is creating dissension as he promotes this disorder, and we can't let them get us caught up in this, because it allows them to move forward with their plans. And again, the same thing with Christians and Muslims. You know, most Muslims are wonderful people. We need to love them, and as Christians, we need to love them. We don't need to agree with them, but the only way we're going to teach them about the true faith is through love. And so we can't let them cause us to go to war, whether it's the blacks and the whites or the Hispanics, you know, or even the Muslims. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm afraid that's what we're going to see this summer, though. And this is, I made the statement to my wife, I would rather stand on top of the Twin Towers on 9/11 than go to Cleveland after what I found out is going to go on. And it's going to take a miracle from God to prevent widespread violence. And in fact, Gary, I'll carry this to even a higher level. My goodness. Gary, are you still with us? Am I still with us?
I'm here. I heard that. Wow. They cut him off, I guess, or something happened.
Yeah, I know that Todd will work to reestablish communication. Mm.
Wow.
We're sorry about that, folks.
I've never heard anything quite like that.
No, I haven't either, and that's why I thought it might have been on my end. I mean, that's, you know, what happened to me last week. It's becoming a weekly occurrence.
yeah.
And I just got a note here from Todd, our producer. He is trying to reach Gary back. And
right.
Just a reminder, Todd, that I think I did on the initial message to you give you a backup number that we can try as well. But to answer his question, the globalists have worked all this time to rape the American people financially. And a lot of it's been done through the free trade agreements, primarily and secondarily through illegal immigration and undercutting the lower wage structure of our economy. They're not going to give that up. This is worth trillions of dollars. They will fight, they will assassinate, they'll incarcerate, they will do whatever they have to do to hang on to their power. We saw the Republican Party almost implode, and they're not out of the woods yet with imploding, because they don't want to give up the campaign contributions that they get in Congress from going along with this treason of free trade agreements and unbridled illegal immigration that's out of control. We live in crazy times. I don't see any way that we're not going to have some kind of civil conflict. And we call it a civil war? I'm not sure. Well, I just heard that beep, too. Gary, do we have you back?
Yeah, Dave, nothing wrong with my phone.
That was interesting. Well, I gave a brief answer there, and basically I said the globalists are going to fight, and I don't think we're going to get out of this without a major civil conflict in this country, because they're not going to give up all the progress they've made in financially raping us. That's my answer on where this is all headed. We could regain the White House. We might even, after 2 years of Trump's presidency, kick out all the incumbents and get people who are friendly to our agenda. But they're going to fight. We will see terrorism on a daily basis. They will encourage our enemies to attack us. This is what I think we're in for, Gary. This is why your movie is so darn prophetic. In fact, as we approach the top of the hour here, I want to make sure we leave enough time for you to review how people can follow the movie in terms of where it's playing and when, and to look at the movie trailer and look at some of the reviews. You can skip that one by the guy named Hodges, but there are some very good reviews on there that'll actually tell you what this movie's about as you make your movie-going decision. So, Gary, again, tell us about the website and what plans you have for the movie as it's going forward.
Well, the movie's called Amerageddon. It's showing in theaters in different parts of the country right now. It's all over Florida, Kansas City, Charlotte. You can find out where it's showing and where it will be showing in coming weeks by going to the website AmerageddonTheMovie.com. The quick synopsis on it: it's a true story that has not happened yet. And by that I mean that there's a real threat to this country from an electromagnetic pulse.
Yes.
The elitists know that in order to bring in their world order, they've got to diminish America. And in just a few seconds, they could do something that would shut down all power, all banking, all food supplies, fuel, medicine. And the Congress of the United States did two studies, and I spoke recently with the head of the studies, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who's an expert on this. And he loves our movie. He thinks that it's timely and it's important. But as the head of this congressional commission, they determined that if we were attacked by an EMP, that 90% of Americans would die in 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And yet our government is doing nothing to protect us. The commission said that our government would spend $2 billion, which is what we give to Pakistan every year. We could harden the grid and save millions and millions of lives from this threat. And when you consider that Russia has that weapon, North Korea has that weapon, China has it, we have it, that with our administration pushing Putin and poking that Russian bear, for them not to decide they've had enough with NATO on the Russian borders and NATO overthrowing the duly elected government of Ukraine, all they have to do is give North Korea the word, and they've got a satellite, two of them, that cross our country twice a day that very likely, in fact, I asked Dr. Pry, I said, what are the chances of that North Korean satellite having a nuclear device on it? And he hesitated, and he said, we need to shoot it down. I can't believe they haven't shot it down. And we have a real threat that our government is doing nothing to protect us from.
Right.
And again, AmerigetInTheMovie.com, it's going to show people how it happens, how to prepare. It shows them the executive orders like 13603 that gives president power to take away our weapons, take away our food. It shows that the UN, through the UN Small Arms Treaty that John Kerry has signed illegally, by the way, only the Senate can approve treaties, gives the UN the right to come into our country in the event of a crisis and take away our weapons. These are codified into treaties and into law, and they exist right now. And American people need to wake up and understand that not only are their freedoms and their Second Amendment has been threatened, but the lives of their children.
I agree. We need to treat the UN interlopers as the foreign invaders that they are, and they need to be treated accordingly, read between the lines. Gary, it's always a great privilege and honor when you come on, and we're going to have you on again later this summer after the re-release here, because we want to gauge the progress. And of course, we've got the fall opportunity coming up when you're going to hit the pay-per-view and in the movie and the TV market. So we're really looking forward with a great anticipation. We're out of time for this segment, but I want to really thank you again for coming on, and best of luck, continued good luck with the movie Amerigeddon. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. God bless you, and thank you for all you do.
Thanks. Well, Katie, what a great man, what great courage. I haven't asked him some of the obvious questions about how he overcame the obvious pushback from the globalists with this movie, because I don't know that he could reveal it, and I don't like to ask embarrassing questions, but he had to overcome an awful lot to bring this to market. Well, anyway, we're going to be up with Bob Griswold in hour number two, and then, of course, in hour number three, Katie will be with us for the health segment, and we've got some other issues to discuss. We will see you all in hour number two.